Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report. Damien Fleming, Bradley Hodge as always. Hodgie, what a captivating day yesterday was at the SCG. When you think Test match cricket can't get any better, we had a whole day of just grey skies, drizzle. And I'd imagine when the Indians were visualising, you know, winning the series, you know, that night, to rays of sunshine to 20,000 Indian fans, they celebrated in drizzle and grey skies.
Well, it wasn't what they wanted, was it? But they got the result they were always going to get.
I don't think they'd really mind, but I just...
Yeah, no, it wasn't ideal. And I did see a stat actually on somewhere. It was either social media or on Cricket 7 where it said 20 days had actually been washed out in
25.
Sydney compared to Melbourne, which was 9, I think, or 6.
Yeah, 9. They bag us in Melbourne all the time. Hobart's lost one day.
Yeah, who would have thought that?
One day of Test match cricket. Smaller margin. Hey, mate, so since we last caught up, you've been on the BBL train.
Yeah,
I've been... How have you been finding the commentary?
Well, I've been working hard. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, actually. The competition itself just looks like it's going in the right direction.
Yep.
And lifting to
on
a new
incline.
Level. Yeah, there was a few things, a few reasons. There was some wickets which weren't up to standard and playing a few different venues. And the batting seemed to be a bit short of the mark, which is similar to the test matches for Australia, but all in all, it's fun. It's good. It's great competition, yeah. And I love it. And I really enjoy, you know, so far working with different people who have got different opinions and views. It's been great.
So, well, give us a real insight. I mean, most people would think that Phil Tufnell is the quintessential English commentator. He's articulate. He's a very serious person. But have you found it a little bit different commentating with him?
I've found that he's probably, if you've got the Queen, you've probably got the Joker. He's more the Joker than the Queen. So he was certainly funny. He was like a cat on a hot tin roof the first game.
That's what they call him, the cat.
He is the cat. And he did explain to us how, like a cat, he often pissed in the next door neighbour's flower garden.
Yeah.
So yeah. That was good to hear
good
on national
for
TV.
The kids watching that.
So that was pretty funny. I think my experience was like quite amazing. The start, most people wouldn't have known, but I was working with yourself and James Brayshaw.
Yeah.
And my microphone didn't work for the first two overs of the game. And it was my first ever game on TV. And I'm sitting there going, what's going on? What's going on? And you and JB are looking at me going, what is this idiot doing?
And we knew enough not to throw to you though, because we can't ask Hodge a question because then people are going, geez, a bit shy this Hodge.
Yeah.
But a terrific debut by yourself, particularly on the motorbike.
Oh, how good was
I? People are still asking, you know, could you turn pro?
Yeah, well, I've sort of looked into that area, you know. I mean, people say, how do you do it? And I just say, well, I've got plenty of off time, you know.
Makes
so
sense.
I go and ride motorbikes and do a few jumps left, right and centre. And, you know, maybe next year, who knows, we can look for something a little bit different. I can do a triple flip next time if it needs be. So I think Jonesy, the producer, executive producer of our Channel 7.
Has now seen what you can provide.
Yep.
And let's just go the next level.
Mm, correct.
Hey, well, we need to talk about, obviously, about the Test series. India, historic series win for them. They've been coming to Australia for 70 years. They've never beaten Australia at home. 2-1, which would have been pretty close to 3-1, I think, if we got the sunlight and conditions there. But it was just a tick to, you know, a really good quality squad. particularly the bowling. I think they'll say that's the best bowling depth that India have brought to Australia. But Kohli's drive as captain leader, batting, Pujara, the precision, just the batsmanship of it, and the bowlers probably left by Bumrah. But what are your sort of first thoughts in reviewing that series? Probably from Indian's perspective first.
Well, I think the bowling units were both outstanding, really. And you know, I think the Aussie unit, which you'd know, probably come under a little bit of criticism. But on the back of that, you need rest as a pace bowling battery. And unfortunately, our batsmen couldn't bat for a full day.
No.
So when you're back in the field as a bowler, bowling again, it's really hard to be successful. And I think that's where India got over us a little bit. But yeah, the difference, a lot of people have said that the difference was Pujara, you know, the new wall, the new Rahul Dravid of India. And, yeah, he just wore us down. Not often, not always exciting to watch.
No.
But that's his method, and it paid dividends for, you know, guys like Rishabh Pant and that later on, Virat Kohli, to be able to score freely and do their job. I particularly liked, you know, in the first couple of matches, the Nathan Lyon challenge. You know, where,
first Pujara?
Yeah, first Pujara.
Oh, I thought it was outstanding.
You know, we're coming up with different styles where players use their pads, and even in this DRS technology, still to be able to use the pad and do it successfully. You know, rarely did he get hit through the offside. And it's funny because it turned and bounced more in the first two games in Perth and Adelaide. Definitely. Than it did in Melbourne and Sydney. Yep. And it looked like he was a completely different bowler in those two tests.
So a couple of things on that, you know, the pitches after day one in Adelaide and Perth, because they were quite grassy, the footmarks hadn't really dug into the turf, but they'd got rid of the grass. So Nathan had something to bowl in on day one at both venues. But the MCG, it was funny, Ishant Sharma and Mitchell Starc, they didn't rough up the MCG pitch, but our right-handers did.
Yeah.
So Jadeja had footmarks to bowl into, and we had a heap of lefties.
Amazing.
It was the same in Sydney. Like, if we'd had more right-hand batsmen, Jadeja couldn't have hit those footmarks and been such a big factor. And I suppose if... you know, for whatever reason, I don't know if Mitchell Starc changed his spikes, but you know, if he had to been able to rip it up a bit. And that's why we sort of questioned that the quicks were a little bit predictable by the Australians, that maybe they should have come around a bit wicket a bit more, particularly in Sydney, just to give Nathan Lyon some rough to bowl into.
Well, I mean, I guess that's why left arm orthodox spinners have been traditionally more exciting over in Australia. One, they challenge the stumps as a right hander, but also that footmark is what you're talking about.
It's there.
Yeah, I guess only, you know, Graham Swan was quite effective when he came out to Australia for a bit, but he was a bit like Nathan Lyon.
Well, really, it was only a couple of spells.
Yeah, that's it.
He averaged well over 50 a wicket.
And it's interesting because the left hand to a left-handed bat, you feel that as a left-handed bat, you're in control.
Well, the ball's spinning in.
But it wasn't the way. I thought we lacked aggression, actually, towards the left-arm orthodox for our left-handed batters. Rarely did we take him over mid-on or mid-wicket. It's a free hit, and then you get those bat pads out of the game. So
you got a lot of outside edges, you know, playing for spin, you know, which, you know, it's disappointing.
I saw that one from yesterday or 2 days ago from Sean Marsh was criminal. How you nicked that? That's got me absolutely stuffed.
I mean, we'll talk about Marshy in a minute, but Sean, like, that innings was a classic Sean Marsh. Whereas those two beautiful cover drives, they were as beautifully hit as two balls have been hit in Test match cricket.
Like,
classic cover drives.
Yeah.
But in the same half an hour, he hits the outside edge to a left arm orthodox, who, unless he really hits the footmarks big time, it doesn't turn in at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just was watching Juddu, and I've seen him because I coached him at Gujarat Lions.
The rock star.
Yeah, and I'm just not sure how he should get you out in four-day cricket. I mean, as good as he is, consistently as he is, but on Australian conditions, rarely do you turn the ball.
So he'd be like a slow medium bowler, really. If you treated him like that, a straight one, I think you'd be more effective, wouldn't you?
Well, you saw Kuldeep Yadav as a completely different bowler.
Ooh, I liked
You know, there's a lot of there's a lot of overspin, there's a lot of turns.
Slower.
There's a wrong end, it's above the eye line. So it's completely different. That's the markings of a genuine spinner. Jadu's an outstanding... He plays on a wicket in Saurashtra, which is pretty much a dust bowl.
Oh, yeah.
So if you do just chuck it on a length consistently, it's going to bite every now and then, and scoring becomes very difficult. But, you know, on Australian wickets, MCG and SCG in particular, it didn't spin at all.
He did the job. So though,
that's frustrating for our batting group.
Also, the tactics, our inability to pose more questions to, say, Jadeja taking him on.
Yeah.
Mayank Agarwal comes into the series halfway, and the first thing you know straight away, he takes on Nathan Lyon. He actually hits him back over his head.
Yeah.
He's the first Indian batsman to do that. So one, he's getting runs, all of a sudden Long On's back, so that's a change of field. But I reckon it helped his teammates as well.
Well, it was just a great, just an attitude of a young kid coming in and playing with ability, not thinking that he's played Nathan Lyon ever before. I mean, Nathan had a great series in India. So you'd think that there will be a few mental demons from the playing group, you know, but he just came in and absolutely dominated and looked aggressive, changed the way Nathan Lyon had the bowl.
Yeah.
And as you said, other people ran off the back of that as well. But I actually like the way that the Ajinkya Rahane, before Mayank Agarwal, tried to be aggressive to Nathan Lyon. Not so much the aerial route, but I thought he was good on his feet.
He's busy.
Rohit Sharma tried the aggressive mode and got caught trying to slog one after a six. But Mayank Agarwal just played straight down the ground as well. Hit him straight, even hit it with a couple of
out. Of all the cover drives I like, though, you know, in that Perth 100 from Kohli, I just loved how he'd come down and he wouldn't be to the pitch of the ball, but all he'd do is just open up his hands and his face and hit it through four, you know, against the spin.
Oh, it's amazing.
That was really unique. And also, Rishabh Pant, you know, 21 years of age. If you'd seen him batting that, we'd heard that he was allergic to a leave or a block. You know, that's the way he plays.
Yeah.
He was all over the shop in Adelaide, just swinging hard and all that. But what I love, he just got better and better. And it's almost like he worked out that, hey, I have got a pretty good defense when I need to. I don't need to slog. I'm a natural stroke player. I'll score quick if I'm there over 100 balls. At 21 years of age, he has to improve his keeping to be a consistently, and particularly over in India where spinners are going to be a lot and different bounce. But at 21 years of age, if his keeping keeps improving, they've got to keep it for the next 10 years in all three forms.
Yeah, well, he seems to be really good up to the stumps, and made a few errors back, which is surprising for a keeper.
Yeah.
I mean, the one he dropped off Usman Khawaja there on the second last day. Yeah, I mean, after making 160, is you can argue he was a bit tired, but really to sitter, that's where he needs the work. But if you're making 160 every time you bat, what I think may have happened in the dressing room around Rishabh Pant is he's got some great experience there to be able to encourage the kid. Virat Kohli, Pujara showed the recipe about how to play in Australia and just be patient. And you know, those sort of guys may have been a good learning curve for Rishabh Pant. And on the flip side of that, it was almost like our guys really didn't have a game plan or couldn't adjust to the conditions.
Game plan's the important thing there, I reckon, because once you've got a plan, you actually have some confidence that you will have some success. If you don't have a game plan, even if it's not always 100% foolproof, at least you're actually building towards something.
Looked like our players' game sense changed during the series. Like, we had Finch, who tried to be defensive in the first game, then went to aggression. We had Khawaja, who was defensive in the first couple, then went aggressive. To me, that just says confusion about not knowing what your game sense is or game plan through the series.
Rishabh Pant does a bit of babysitting too.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
Great banter between him and Payne throughout the series.
There was some great banter about the whole series, and that's what was really pleasing about how, you know, there's two sides out there wanting to win for their country, and that's what you do as professional sportsmen. You don't sit there and hand on a platter a victory to a touring nation.
Yeah,
good luck, buddy. Enjoy your summer and hope you get to Bondi Beach and you want to see some fight. You want to see some aggression.
Witty banter, though. I liked it. You know, it was creating doubts.
Yeah.
Nothing too personal.
I'll tell you what you would have liked throughout the series, Flem, was seen a couple of lids, a few falcons during the tournament. It was great.
Mate, there was more. I haven't seen that many helmets hit since the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan. You know that movie? Like, they're getting hit.
Yes.
I have never seen so many helmets hit. Like, I remember the great West Indies teams used to, you know, it was a bouncer barrage against AB and Kim Hughes. And
well, they never used to wear helmets, did they?
Well, they started to wear them, but I don't remember them getting hit. I think the technique, you know, particularly Marcus Harris, I mean, he needed to spray bouncer repellent when Boomer was bowling to him. But he is going to have to improve that technique. It's pure ducking. His head goes towards the ball and his eyes go off the ball.
Well, if you do that, you're going to get hurt, aren't you? Somewhere along the line. So as a top order player, that, I mean, look, we have to explain to our listeners that that's also the step up from Sheffield Shield cricket to Test match cricket. And that's why it's the best. You face Boomer here. The next series, you'll go to South Africa and you'll face Rabada. You'll face Steyn. Then you'll go over and face Broad and Anderson.
Yeah.
It's tough. And that's the reason why it's tough as Test cricket. You have to be the best and only the best survive. So there's no doubt he'll survive. The good thing is he only got out to it once, and that was hooking in Perth where he decided to take it on.
MCG.
MCG, that's right. So, look, the one thing, you don't want to be tested upstairs too consistently because you know that you're going to get peppered as a batsman.
Yeah.
You just want it nice and full and see if they can nick you off. So,
but that's part of the batsmanship that I've been talking about too is, you know, I think you know, Harris and Head, I think their stroke play is good enough for test match level, but stroke play is only one component, isn't it, of making it the art of batting.
Yeah.
And it's almost, you know, what you do when you're not playing the strokes is equally as important. And also just that, that they've got danger zones, haven't they, like from 20 to 60, 70.
Extreme danger zones.
Whereas Pujara goes, you know, he gets to 100 and goes, yeah, I wouldn't mind a double 100 here.
Yeah.
So you hope that, you know, Harris and Head have learned a lot through the series.
Well, that's the benchmark. I was talking to Alan Border out the back of in the media box.
Yeah,
I think it was at the MCG. Well, I did sledge him once, and after that, he became a mate. Yeah, it was amazing.
Just testing it. Have we heard that sledge before?
No, we haven't. We'll save it for another day. But,
okay.
But we were talking so AB was, you know, he was a selector at that stage, and he took me to a tour. He was a coach to LA. We went actually.
We're in Pakistan or something, but Australian team.
Yeah.
And Australia A gets to
It was
LA.
A real disappointing selection. Oh. It was a real shit venue. I've never seen Damian Martin so excited, actually. So the wickets were disgusting, but we had a cracking time.
He was too cool for school, Damian Martin. He would have just loved just hanging out.
Yeah. Oh, unbelievable. It was great. And I remember I was having a beer with AB at some country and western folk thing. It was a crap venue, but the company was great with it.
But what about
with
Uncle Alan? They had that opportunity to talk to Uncle Al.
Well, that was the thing. I was. And he sort of said that, Hodgie, if you're a good player, but if you don't have expectations of scoring 170 three times in a Shield season, you won't get picked for Australia. Because the thing is, Martin Love's doing it. Jimmy Marr's doing it. Siddons, Lehman, Blewett, Cadditch, Hussey. You can keep going on and on. And he said that's the benchmark. So to me, it was pretty clear that that was the selection criteria, and you either choose to do it or not, or you're good enough to do it or you're not. So I don't think we've got that message going on at the selection table at the moment or to our playing group that that's the benchmark. When you get to 40, make sure you get to 150 because it's too hard. You're going to get good balls.
Thing is too, though, Hodgie, they're just words too. Like, you have to work it out individually, don't you?
Mm. Yeah.
Your cues when you were getting into 40, 50 to get hungry might be different than a Harris and all that, but you have to work it out, don't you?
Well, you've got to know that when you're vulnerable. So there are periods in any, you can be playing for Mackey Cricket Club and you're on 60 and you've got to know why you're vulnerable in 60. Well, because you've just gone through a milestone, you want to race to 100. You think you'll whack a couple.
Adrenaline's going.
Yeah, and you'll try and jump to 75 as quick as possible, and you'll take on a few shots which you shouldn't. So risk versus reward. I'm not sure we know that about our group at the moment, or they know where they're vulnerable.
I think there was a significant shift in the series when Australia got it to 1-1. We went to Melbourne. And there was a lot of criticism about how slow Pujara and and Kohli batted on day one, and even some of it come out of the Australian dressing rooms.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, that come back to bite them big time, didn't it? That they won him within 4 days. And I just think
it's amazing. You
know, it's something from Graham Hick going, yeah, we'd try and get to that mark quicker than what they got,
yeah,
as in India. And just thinking, well, we could have been sent into bat again. Like, there is something in that. It is 5 days.
Yeah.
And particularly not so much for Pujara, because that's the way he goes about it, but when Virat Kohli's strike rate's 35,
yeah,
you know there's something. One, the bowling's really good, or the pitch is really slow. But even King Kohli, number one in the world, he knew he had to go in first gear for a while.
He did.
But just because of the circumstances.
Absolutely. And I think that's great management. I think they've come to Australia knowing that it's going to be hard and we're not going to win within 3 days or 4 days like it can happen in India. It's going to take all 5 days for us to win, and it's going to be tough and it's going to be a grind. And I think their game plan's been exceptional, you know, against the one of the best attacks in world cricket. To grind them into the dirt consistently.
They just wore them down.
Oh, it's amazing. It's just like...
No, I don't think... Do you reckon the quicks actually recovered after the batting collapse in Melbourne and then getting sent out to bowl again?
No,
you
know, not
like,
at all.
Even though there was a couple of days off.
Not at all.
They looked tired in Sydney.
Yeah, they were gone. And it was. They've just put to the sword consistently, back to back. Keep coming, mate. Keep bowling your six balls, and I'm going to keep showing you this blade for as long as I can. And that's hard. I mean, you've played in Pakistan, you've played in India. You know how hard it is when you just don't think you're going to get a wicket.
No.
What do you do in your mind?
Well, you start to lose confidence, don't
yeah.
you? Like, you just, you know, Pakistan, some of those Indian pitches, but you either thrive to survive, or you wear away like you're saying, and you know, knew that right arm outswing isn't going to have a big impact in India or Pakistan over a prolonged period. So you've got to actually be able to use your pace more, use angles, get your fields right. That's where I think India got the fields pretty right there. It was frustrating for them. But hey, mate, you sent out your team of the series.
Yes.
All right.
I did.
And woof, it's lit up Twitter.
Didn't it?
Some positives, you're getting some criticism.
Yeah.
Let's go through them. Quick chat on them. Mayanka Agarwal up the top.
Yeah.
No problems there.
Yeah.
Number two, you said no one deserves a spot here.
No. Well,
what about people are saying, what about Marcus Harris?
Well, that's probably the only, not error, that's probably the only one which deserves a spot, actually.
But I like Marcus what you've Harris. Done. You've just stirred emotions
there, haven't you?
You are the Twitter king.
So there's a lot of that. There was a lot of how can you leave out Marcus Harris and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's fine. But, you know, top score is 70. That's fine.
No, you're just saying, you're setting a standard here, and we'll qualify that in a moment. Pujara at 3, Kohli 4. You've slid it in Rahane at 5.
Yeah.
You end up averaging low 30s.
Yep.
But why did you do
that? Well, I couldn't see anyone else to fit that role. Yep. I didn't think Travis Head nailed it. I didn't think Sean Marsh could fit there.
But you felt like his runs were quality runs when they were needed?
Well, I just that innings in Adelaide, I think for me, was a real standout and just really took it away from the Australians. And he gets other guys going as well. I think that's what we need to understand. It seems that Pujara and also Kohli thrived off his skill sets. So, to me, that was an important part of selection.
So, Pant, Jadeja, Lyon, Cummins, you know, Bumrah, you know, what an outstanding bowler, isn't it? Like, he just continually, even in Sydney, he might have dropped a couple of Ks, but they were still surprised by him. He hit the bat hard. You know, I loved, you know, Melbourne Test match. He didn't, for a man that's come through T20 cricket, he's got all the skills, obviously. But because there was variation movement off the Perth and Adelaide pitches, he didn't mix it up too much. But he gets to Melbourne, it's flat, and he goes a bit T20 style, and he bounces out Harris.
Yeah.
Slower ball to get Marsh and a Yorker to get Head. I don't think the Australians mixed it up enough in Melbourne and Sydney and called on their T20 skills because they've got them. But you've got to create some doubt on those flat pitches, and Bumrah only created doubt. He got wickets.
Mate, if he had bowled 50 more slow balls, he would have got the wickets a lot quicker. It's such a deceptive ball. I think that's where...
It was only his second one for the series.
Yeah.
Because he bowled one, and I knew that. you know, I just had this. I saw the first one to Khawaja in Perth. It was short and wide. It was no good.
Yeah. And he didn't do it again for a long time.
And then he didn't do it until he got Marsh. And then Mohammed Shami was brilliant. You know, he's run up an action for any kids that want to just watch.
He was a surprise for me how good he was. I didn't think he was going to be that good. I just thought sort of stocky, medium, fastish bowler. You know, I thought in Australian conditions, that's beautiful to face. He was far from beautiful to face.
I think he bounced the ball more from his height than any other bowler.
So how's that happen?
Well, I reckon he, just talking about his run-up, like his run-up's really good, but all his
He looks like he's going to trip over every time he's running, or his groins are...
He might be a little bit, you know, straight-legged, but all for me, I want forward momentum going toward to where you want the ball and all your body parts there. And if you watch him, where his arm path goes, it's all going to be there to release the ball where he wants for that outswinger. But you see someone like Pat Cummins, we'll talk about him a bit, you know, looking towards to Ashes and that. You know, Paddy is unreal. He's 100% competitor. He's fast. He's hostile. But he doesn't He doesn't like bowling any fuller than short of a length. You know what I mean? And his hand goes over his head as he loads up. Then it goes across his body. Then it has to come out. And he actually bowls past 12 o'clock.
Really?
With a wobbled seam. So, you know, in English conditions, I think Paddy's going to have to do a little bit work on his arm path because when I said all body parts going towards the target from Shami, a few of our bowlers are now making it hard themselves. I reckon Josh Hazlewood just starting to fall away a little bit. You know, that left shoulder, instead of going towards off stump, it's going to gully. So instead of his wrist and fingers being behind the ball to maximise that Shami bounce, he's just coming down the right side of the ball a little bit. Just a fraction millimetres means that he's bowling a bit flatter than because he's 6'6".
So is that analysed during the series, Flem? Do you know? I mean, David Saker's there. He's a good bowling coach. But do they see that and do they analyse it?
I know they work out run-up speeds. Yeah. So when you're running it, so I like that. But also what I want in this modern technology, I want to know, so what's happening with Josh is he's spending more time, because he's jumping out a little bit, he's spending more time on his back foot, right? So his front half's ready to bowl, but it can't because he has to wait for his back leg to stabilise, dip, come back up. So by the time he comes back up and his right side's ready to bowl, his left one's drifting out to gully a little bit. So
that's why you're the bowlologist. Well, that's why you're probably wasted on Channel 7. You're wasted on 7.
Well, give me the toys to talk about this, but I would think.
And is that why he struggled in England so much then, Josh Hazlewood? Did he have this issue?
I think he falls into that.
I thought he was going to be a superstar in England.
Yep.
And he was far from it.
Well, it's a danger coming in the Ashes because they were disappointing 2 years ago as a group. Mitchell Starc, Mitchell Johnson, who's no longer there. I'm worried we're going to bowl too short for those conditions and we don't get the seam in a good enough position. If you're not swinging it over in England, You're not getting 20 wickets.
No, you're not.
You're not getting 20 wickets. So, I'd be hoping. I don't know if David Saker, you know, has the toys, but I'd want to know how much time they're spending on their back foot when they're bowling well as opposed to when they're bowling poorly. Mm. I want to know the arm path for their front arm when it's at its best.
Yeah, that's critical, isn't it?
I want all that. Yeah. I want the wrist release. Are his fingers, are they coming down the back of the ball to get heaps? It's like spinning a top.
Yeah.
You have to get a lot of revolutions on a spinning top for that to stable. Same with bowling, swing bowling. You've got to actually get enough revolutions on the back of the ball to get that stable seam.
So would Josh know he's doing that, or is that just a case of being tired and your body is fatigued?
Yeah, but I want self-coachable bowlers on the field that they had their own cues that they worked through with their bowling coach going, I doesn't feel too good today. What's my checklist? And for him, my would be running at the target, get off my back foot as quick as I can. And I want that strong front arm actually grabbing off stump and pulling it towards me.
Yeah, okay.
I think those sort of cues could work with Hazlewood. And really, that's what I want from a bowling coach.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I'm the CEO of
Simplicity.
I'm Josh Hazlewood.
Yeah.
I'm the CEO of Josh Hazlewood.
Mm-hmm.
I need consultants. I don't need to do anything. So a consultant is David Saker.
Yeah.
Sakes, you're a consultant. Make sure I'm at the top of my game. Be watching for these cues.
Well,
but I'm not sure it's happening.
Well, the CEOs of our batting group need to look at their jobs, if not hand in some resignations and apply for some new CEOs.
Yes.
Absolutely. You're in control of your own destiny. Definitely. No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
If we liken this series to, or the players to, seafood, so basically you've picked the lobsters there. The cream de la cream.
There's a lot of lobsters. There's some Moreton Bay bugs and some really tasty prawns.
That's the top 11 players.
Yeah.
If we find a sort of halfway sort of a fish, like a whiting or a battered flake.
Oh, whiting, battered flake, yep.
Harris would be in there because he was borderline in the team.
Yep.
That half a pass mark there. Yep. Who else is a whiting? And then right at the end, or do you want to just focus on the carp?
Look, I think you could probably say Usman Khawaja was also in that tasty crumb.
We wouldn't have won the Perth test without that 72.
No. So I think our expectations of Usman Khawaja were very high this series. And I think still it's a pass mark, or it's a nice tasting fish. It's not lobster, it's not Moreton Bay bugs, but it's still good.
But we were banking on him, I would have thought, 400 runs at least.
Yeah, we needed him.
And Sean Marsh as the two older players.
Yeah, they needed to be in Virat Kohli territory with numbers. They weren't there.
What about the carp?
Yeah, carp, the dogfish.
Not happy with
the ugly Spanish mackerel. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, our Victorian friend Finchie has to be there.
The Grinch.
It was a monumental fail on his part, but I don't truly believe it was always going to happen. Yep. I mean, I was very vocal on that early, that he's a middle order player and he has been in 4-day cricket for 4 years, and asking him to do something and opening the batting is such a tough challenge. And I think all things have compounded in Australia's batting lineup because the failure just to pick another opening batter, it made everyone's job difficult. So I'm not sure how the selectors have come up with
that. If someone will look at the stats in 20 years' time and look at Finchie's first-class stats and where he batted, and they go, why did he open the batting?
You have no idea.
They'll go, well, at the moment, he still only averages 31 for Victoria in the middle order. So that's still not even demanding a spot
in
the middle order. But being such a dominant white ball cricketer means he has played less first class cricket, and you could make a case that he'll be with an older ball. Mm. He's a natural hitter of the ball, and they like the hundreds. He scored a lot at white ball cricket, but people will be perplexed, won't they? They go, "Why did he open the batting?" So one, I can't see Finchie coming back.
No, I can't either.
He would have to score 1,200 runs in a Shield year, and he's not going to get the time because he plays so much white ball cricket. But for me, what does it say? You know, the guys like Renshaw and Burns who have made test hundreds opening. Yeah,
well it says you
where
batting,
are they?
It says you're batting rubbish, or the selectors have been watching you play and don't think you're good enough.
But the thing is, we don't know now. Now, if Burns had opened against Pakistan and got to the end of the season, he'd have six tests to be able to go, you know what, maybe he's not quite there.
Mm.
Or Renshaw, you know, we're going to the Ashes. Renshaw went to England and he had a really good county season. I think he was batting.
No, he was outstanding.
Three.
Yeah, he was on fire.
But now, whether it's disappointment, whether he feels like he needs to change his game, he's averaging 19 in Shield cricket.
Well, the problem we've got is that, and I'm saying this poor selection has actually affected the whole batting group, because we actually had a number three in Usman Khawaja.
And he wants to bat three. He doesn't want to open.
So now he's found himself back opening, which has wrecked everything that he's looking forward to doing. So we've sort of robbed Peter to pay Paul instead of just getting the right decision right
at the
start.
Can Paul open the batting?
He had to. He got no choice.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's pushed up. I would have thought it would have looked great. Khawaja, Smith, whoever else after that. To me, that, you know, Warner, Khawaja, Smith, that's some talent.
Yeah.
So now that Khawaja's gone up, he's vulnerable in that opening slot. I thought he had number three slotted down perfectly. Yep. So, yeah, a bit disappointing. But anyway, unfortunately for Finchie, it's a carp.
Yep. India actually had their own. They tried to make some opening batsmen as well. So KL Rahul, carpish.
Shocking. Yeah, KL Rahul and Murali Vijay, I thought, were in particular.
That might be it for Murali, I think.
Yeah, they were complete, absolute dogfish, unfortunately. I tipped KL Rahul to be outstanding on this tour. I thought he had the game to dominate. Wasn't I wrong? Well, he was so April, vulnerable outside the off
I just
stump.
Said, if they're flat, watch out. Yeah. I saw his 50 or 14 balls in the IPL. He hitting sixes over cover. He's got that much power.
Yep.
But is it sustainable against a quality, Australian attack in conditions that move a bit?
Well, not yet.
And Vijay 4 years ago batted really well. He looked quite correct. But he was all at sea. The only other Indian...
Well, such a gutsy call from the selectors to leave him out and put Vihari at the top. It paid dividends for him, actually. But I thought Murali Vijay may have come into some form in that Melbourne test. If you're ever going to get runs, it was on that flat wicket in Melbourne to start after winning
the
toss.
And poor Vihari, he's at best a number six.
Well, they've done exactly what they've done to Finch.
Yeah.
They've put him into the hot seat and you failed and now you're dust. You're back behind 15 other cricketers.
All right, who else is Karp?
Well, I've got the Marsh brothers in there.
Yep.
As pure Karp. I'm not even sure Mitchell actually had a heartbeat in this series, to be honest. He's more or less a bit of coral on the bottom of the sea with no colour. He was poor. Mitchell...
Is the vice captain, like even the decision to make him vice captain is so bizarre, isn't it?
So who's making those decisions or who's accountable for those decisions?
The coach, Justin Lowe, JL would have to have a big say, but the selection panel would have a say in that, wouldn't they? All three of them.
Well, it's surely someone, if I don't mind the coach going to the selection panel and going, I think Mitch Marsh should be vice captain, and they just say, that's great, Justin, but that's the most ridiculous decision I think you were going to make. We've got these other players which we might suggest. He might go, yeah, good point.
Because it gets, obviously has to go through the board as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It has to be ticked off by the board. So,
now, I think for Mitch needs to, he's regressed, you know, those couple of hundreds last year. You could see, you know, he come in for the third test. And he looked a bit lighter on his feet. That really brilliant 90 against South Africa.
Yes.
You're going, wow, that's a quality attack. He looked back to the old lead-footed Mitchell Marsh. They need to look. He's played 30 tests now. He has to have time for Sheffield Shield cricket, like prolonged, and has to make hundreds and hundreds of runs.
Well, I think he should also go over in April and May and test himself out in England for the next couple of seasons.
I think he was keen, wasn't he? But he got injured.
Yeah, well, that's when it's tough. Not, you know, don't worry about when it's flat. It's more when it's tough. Learn how to bat and make some runs when it's tough. I mean, that dismissal against Jadeja in the second innings in Melbourne with just a gentle, orthodox left arm spinner with no spin, and he's just smoked at the cover. I mean, what sort of top six batsman does that? It doesn't. It's a number 8 or 9.
Yep.
So that's why he's out of the team.
Yeah, prolonged out, but he's young enough to come back.
Yep.
Sean Marsh is in trouble.
I want to try and be really positive about Sean Marsh, but I think the frustrations have just got to everyone. You know, we all talk about, once he gets to 30, well, you know what? Batting at number 5 for Australia or 4 for Australia, you got to get there a lot more often than what you are. So for me, I think you'll get just the same result out of putting Glenn Maxwell at number 4 for Australia. And you'll get the same frustrations. So for me, Sean, unfortunately, if he hadn't got picked this one day series as well prior, I think this was his time.
Yeah. But he's still got some white ball cricket in him. And then last one for me, Umesh Yadav come in and geez, he was flat, wasn't he? He'd come off a 10 wicket haul against the West Indies. He was bowling. For me, he looked like a guy. I didn't see the highlights of that West Indies test. I'm assuming they were going reverse swing. You know how he bowls it quite well, but you've got you have a lower, more slingy action for reverse.
Yeah.
So he came into that test match and he was still low for a reverse swinging release.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to have seen how Bhuvi Kumar actually bowled.
Well, that selection probably kept Australia in that test match, actually.
Yeah.
I think you're right. If they had a pick Bhuvaneshwar Kumar, I'm not sure Australia would have been on the right side of that result.
You know, that when they bowled really badly.
Yeah. Well, there's none for 100, wasn't it?
He would have bowled full and nipped it around. And that's where I reckon too, like going back to a lobster, I think they got their selections right after that, didn't they?
Didn't they? What?
8, 9, 10, 11 were embarrassing.
Yeah.
India's, weren't they? Once the number 8 starts backing away, that gives a license for 9, 10, 11 to do that.
Yeah.
So they bring Jadeja in. also to bat eight.
Mm.
And he got wickets.
Yeah.
And then the Kuldeep selection was perfect.
Oh, it was a fantastic selection. It was a courageous selection as well. You know, they could have just stuck with Ishant Sharma, who'd done a good job. But no, full faith, the captain says, nah, good trust in this guy to deliver, and he did deliver in spades.
So what are we doing? Sri Lankan Test Series. Who's coming in then? So Sean Marsh definitely out.
Well, who knows?
Yeah, Labuschagne batted well at three.
I think he should go down to number six.
Oh, definitely.
So give the youngster, if you think he's got some talent, some form, put him in number six.
Oh, he gets another game after that.
Do what they did with Ponting. Start behind the legends, and then you'll make yourself a legend in time. Labuschagne, come in, mate, when it's 4 for 220. Get yourself to 40 or 50 before the second new ball, and that's how you start your career.
Yep.
This is the problem, because we were hiding Sean Marsh and these guys in the middle order, that Labuschagne had to do that role. They should have been put in the deep end and go sink or swim, boys. Stand up. That's what you're here to do.
So, who comes in?
Look good.
Would you go a Joe Burns Renshaw opening, drop Khawaja down to three, or do you want to go a Maxwell, Matty Wade? Do they go runs, Sheffield Shield runs?
Well, it's hard to select now, isn't it? Because we've gone into T20 mode. And this is another debate I was having with Andy Murr on the plane about all the guys are in Big Bash teams. What are they doing now? They're just running drinks out. They could be actually pushing for selection. They could possibly be up at the centre of excellence playing games.
Just second 11 games.
Just play second 11 games right now. This is the byproduct.
I think there'll be a change. There's got to be a change.
Yeah.
That principles that were worked in 7 or 8 years ago aren't relevant. 7 or 8 years ago, we were, you know, dominating.
Mm.
And we know, it's like, you know,
well, I think whoever takes
Stoinis might be a chance
of
BBL form if they want a bowler.
Well, for me, I'm sort of thinking, you know, the two openers, Harris and one of Burns or Renshaw,
yep.
Usman Khawaja at three. I don't even mind Joe Burns slipping into the middle order if he's good enough.
He started in the middle
order. There has to be, and, you know, I still think Travis Head is quite capable once he gets that going. I'd like to see Labuschagne there, and also like to see Maxwell there.
Okay, that's it. And what about for the? I'll be interested to see whether a different quick might play too, depending on.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting debate.
We don't know, but how they're going.
Yeah. The other person I wanted to throw in there, sorry, before we got there, is Moses Henriques.
Yep.
So, you know, he struggled in Sri Lanka only because he was in a bad space. So he'd represented his country before that. He looks to be in a great space now. He got a couple hundreds in the Sheffield Shield. Now he's playing well in 2020. That might be some leadership you're looking for as well.
Oh, no, he's certainly been a leader. Okay, that's the wrap of the series. What about BBL Baby? And the Hurricanes finally lost a game.
Yes.
Because they've been looking amazing, haven't they?
Well, we are moving to BBL, and I reckon you were going to talk about the quicks. Are we going to see any other quicks in that series? Our quicks are resting through this one-day series. I don't know how you feel about that. Why are we looking too far forward to the Ashes? Why don't we just try and win some games of cricket now?
Well,
Or is Stark, Hazelwood and Cummings not on our best one-day side?
Well, Cummins definitely is. Stark swinging the ball, he definitely is. But it's interesting, isn't it? We're still into workloads and resting, okay? You know, Bumrah and Rabada, they just bowl. No, they just play. Bumrah will play these one days.
So I thought, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought we've just had 8 to 9 months off as a cricket group. And I'm not sure how you rest after 20 days work. So that's just the way I see it. I would have thought we haven't won a series one day or
Let's just win it.
For a long time.
Yeah.
Let's get back on winning. Who gives a crap who you pick? Let's pick our best side to start winning. If we look into 8 months down the track now, we're not getting past Sri Lanka in these two tests.
I don't know what their philosophy is behind the rest.
No, I don't get it either.
They're resting to go, they've got to be right for the Ashes or they've got to be right for the World Cup. I think there's...
Yeah, so here's something for you, friend.
Are they in the best 11, those three?
Well, if they're not, then they're dropped. Yeah. So then you can't. So to clear it up for our listeners.
I don't think they have been dropped, though.
Okay, so if you rested, you actually get paid your match payment. Yeah. So Stark, Hazelwood, and Cummings sit at home and they get paid their, I think it's around $8,000 per one day match.
Oh, geez, that's nice.
To sit at home and watch it on TV. They will bowl sometime in that period, they have to, right? So either you're not playing, Why then don't you come and play Big Bash, bowl your four overs, come back into that? So we are big fans of just playing cricket, right?
Yeah.
I don't think rest does you any good at all.
And also, we don't know, but, you know, there is some technical issues with Hazelwood. Actually, all three of them, as I said, with Paddy. He's not going to change that in a couple of weeks off, but I'm worried about where his arm paths are going and his ability to swing the ball going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Hazelwood, you know, talked about his issues. Starkey's a bit the same. He's not consistently getting that in-swinger.
No, he's
not. He's sort of weird, Hodgie. I only just started thinking about through the test match. You know when you face left-handers, you're generally worried about nicking behind. You know, they've just got that natural angle across you.
Mm.
And the criticism we have of lefties sometimes, but he doesn't have an in-swinger. It's also like Starkey, because he's always trying to swing it in. And if it's not, he doesn't actually get that left-hand angle across.
I thought it was just a change of finger position on you. I thought it's a skill. So I was, as a right-hand batsman, never troubled to a left armer if the ball can't swing in and hit the pads or stumps. I didn't feel I was going to get out. I thought you could just bat an off stump. If you knew the ball wasn't coming back out, how do you get out?
Yeah.
You just don't play a cover drive, the old Lev Thielman. Don't throw me a cover drive. So the only person who can get you out was someone like Mitchell Johnson, who had some serious firepower and catch you on the gloves or catch you off guard. But
I think it's still, but if you have got that one that comes in, you still want to be able to just naturally angle across too, because you're taking him across the crease. Oh, I've got my in-swinger there. But just watching him, I just go, they're not really worried about getting caught on the outside edge here.
So I watched Berendorf the other night. Berendorf actually ran in with his fingers across the seam on a different manner for the one that goes across. So he didn't want it to swing back in. So it wasn't a technical thing. It was just a change of finger position on the seam. Well, that's a variant
the three testies do. They bowl cross seam and angle at three-quarter seam.
Yeah.
But my criticism was they didn't bring in, like, the Yorker slower balls, cutters. So they're always hoping that the seam will look after them there. But that ball from Berendorf, that's pretty good.
It's a great ball. Yeah, it's one of them things. It's He's an interesting in the one-day debate, really.
Team as well.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that more.
Well, could he be in there on merit? So that's what I'm saying. We're resting these guys now.
Yeah.
How can we pencil them in for a World Cup right now when we actually don't know their performances?
Well, we were part of, you know, the resting policy, even when I was playing the last few years.
Mm.
But when it got to finals, you just go, well, am I going to get picked here?
Yeah.
Am I rested or am I just legitimately 12th man? They generally say you're rested.
Yeah.
But then I'm going, well, how do I want to play the finals though.
Yeah.
So I prefer to play every game.
Yeah.
On that, the preference, it'll be interesting to see the methodology going forward.
Would these three play?
We're the only nation that rests, aren't we?
So would these three play if you said, boys, sorry, you're not getting S&C, there's no S&C, so there's no physical aspect to it, which I don't want to take away from that aspect because it's very important, those guys that do that work physically and stuff and monitor their bodies. But if that was taken away and also you said, oh, and also you're not getting your match payments for these games, I've got no doubt they'd play.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They probably make enough money that the financial side isn't as significant.
Yeah.
But also this is all they've ever known. They've come into a system that rests and rotates.
Mm.
You know, is it time to actually, as I said, with Bumrah and Rabada, they just play. And to be honest, what's happening too, we don't have a little bit of an attrition rate because they all rest and that before they get injured. Well, what's wrong, say, if winning a test match, you know, one of the bowlers just gets a bit of a hamstring.
Yeah.
He wins the test for you. He won't play the next one. It actually creates an opportunity for another quick.
Yeah.
So we get to look at, say, you know, they looked a bit jaded in Sydney.
Let's pick Tremaine.
Let's go Tremaine or Jai Richards. We need pace. It's their first test. They would have been leaping out of their skin.
Would have been awesome.
So we don't know. We just think we've got really good fast bowling depth, but we don't know that,
Our bowling stocks at the moment are fantastic. Sitting on the bench, we've got Coulter Nowell, Berendorf, Jai Richardson, Tremaine.
They're not proven at test level, are they?
Well, they never get a chance because we rest, but we're resting guys who actually didn't perform that well. I don't get that.
So I think this is...
So is this like as a batsman, I just rest this one against India because you weren't going that well.
Yeah.
Come back when we face the West Indies, you can average 70 and you'll be fine.
Yes. Okay. No worries.
so we're going to go to the Gabba. They're going to play against the Sri Lanka on... It's going to swing. It's going to seam. It's going to be bowler friendly. and they'll get plenty of wickets.
Are you suggesting, if all these little theories we've come up with and we don't necessarily know the answers, Pat Howard's role needs to be filled?
Oh, quick as possible.
Do we go to Kevin Roberts, the CEO of Cricket Australia, go, mate, we'll look after the interview process and we'll record it as a Bowlology report, because if the Paddy Howard new bloke can't answer these questions, we want to know what his philosophy is going to be going forward. This new man or lady who comes in might say, nah, that's all gone now.
Well, can Belinda Clark pull any moves right now? Because right now, if I was high performance manager, I'd be kicking ass left, right and centre.
Yeah, I think Belinda, who I think would be pretty good if she wanted that role, is only interim, and she's happy to stick.
But if you're interim, can you make any moves?
I think you could, but I don't know if you could do long-term roles, because you're still waiting for the person that comes in to actually do that. But what do they want from selectors? Are they going to? Are the selectors too old?
Well, the selectors have lost a plot.
Do they? They've been there long enough. You need fresh blood. Does the coach have more onus? Do we need only two? Do we need five?
Yeah.
You know, what is the – these are a lot of the questions, but the longer this person's not in appointment, we're not getting these answered, are we?
Well, I think when there's complete confusion amongst some super legend cricketers, most times behind the scenes in the media box and also the public, you know that something's going wrong.
Well, more importantly, the players.
Yeah. The players don't know what's going on.
BBL.
Yeah, real cricket. Let's
so we're doing a game tonight, though, but the teams that are hot, Hurricanes, Sixers, definitely the Stars, Strikers, Thunder, Renegades even are around there. Heat haven't actually played that many games, but the big surprise is Perth Scorchers, isn't it?
Yeah, they just haven't seemed to have got their recipe right so far. You know, I mean, that's where the Marsh-Klinger combination of pass has been so important. I mean, that's where Sean Marsh has been dominant along with Michael Klinger, and they've changed it up a little bit too there. They just don't seem to have the right recipe. Also, the change of venue might be actually affecting the Perth Scorchers, going from the Furnace, the real Furnace, the Wacker, where they've known conditions so well, going to a different venue. That might hurt them, but they've still got a great pace.
But they've been
battery.
Up for so long, haven't they? But I think selections, you know, playing Kadir ahead of Jai Richardson at Marvel Stadium, like, they didn't score many runs, but I have a feeling if Richardson bowled that night, the Renegades' batting's been wobbly.
Oh.
They probably would have won that game.
Well, I know who I'd rather face.
Yeah.
Anytime Kadir. And that's the ridiculous thing about this competition sometimes, is that Jai Richardson just opened the bowling for his country in T20 not 4 months ago and doesn't get a game.
Yeah, he's been rotated out of Shield games too.
Come and play for Renegades, son. We'll have you. Not allowed. It's the Hotel California over there, isn't it? You can check in, but you can't get out.
So, yeah, but still, probably for the Scorchers, you know, I really like Turner as a player.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of Ashton Turner.
Hot body holds up.
You know what? I just hope that the selectors, when they do pick their T20 side, pick certain players for certain roles. And I think Ashton Turner is a 5, 6, and 7 for Australia in that finishing role. We always pick 15 openers because they're the leading run scorers in the competition.
And score 30
and
off
you know,
10.
Chad,
but
come
Turner,
and face
yeah. Dan Christian, those type of players. The other one, even not a no name, but hasn't played for Australia, Simon Malenko. For Hurricanes.
Yeah.
He's sort of got to come in, first of all, hit 6.
Jordan Silk. Yeah, the problem is that what selectors don't realise is when we go and play other teams, you're not facing quick bowlers. When you come in the 14th, 15th, and 16th, you're facing Rashid Khan, you're facing Mujib, you're facing Nabi, you're facing another one.
But that's what you've got to pick, players who can come in straight away.
Ashwin, Jadeja,
well, that's what
they've
said
that Kuldeep.
This one day team. That's why Short and Lynn aren't playing, and Hanscom and maybe Khawaja, because they play spin better. And their feeling is going into this World Cup, half the overs will be spin.
Is that putting
a spin on the spin?
I can't.
Well, we'll talk about that later on.
Yeah.
So the Hurricanes are flying, aren't they?
Yeah, they're flying. They look
Bailey,
like they've
Short,
got a...
Wade, McDermott. Yes, some of the sixes he hits. He's so powerful.
So powerful.
Then you've got Malenko. I like that. The bowling's probably not as good, but it's handy enough.
Well, you know what I like about this...
Young Meredith. Pace.
They've only got one overseas player in this lineup.
Yeah.
So they're performing particularly well. I think that's a credit to... Well, to Tim Payne, George, I mean, sorry, Tim Payne, Matty Wade, George Bailey as well, who seem to be, yeah, they just got some good experience and good mix down there.
What about the Sixers?
Sixers have been very impressive, actually, particularly the middle order, Hughes, Henriques, and Jordan Silk, who seems to be finding that number five role very, very well and being able to adapt in tough conditions, coming in 3 for 30, but also, you know, putting some icing on the cake down there.
How are the Scorchers feeling when they see Josh Phillippe go out to bat and, like, absolutely smash them everywhere? He's got a strike rate of 164.
Well, again, he's one that's actually escaped and got an opportunity to play somewhere else. So well done, Josh Phillippe, and well done, Darcy Short, because he's another one which has gone. And
that's about it.
That's it. No one else is allowed to leave. But really good. Also, Tom Curran, I think, has been outstanding for the Sixers. He's
T20 personified.
He's just excelled more than my expectations ever thought, to be honest. I love the way he's right passionate. Up there with...
You get someone who wants it. He wants the ball. He wants to hit the six to win the game. Very happy there. And then Denley's only had the one good knock, got me out of the match, and he'll be leaving. But, you know, that Denley and Ingram for the Strikers, they're just good pros. When it's their day to shine, they generally get you home. They'll win you three games, four games. Denley's fielding's amazing. But then they give you leadership. I think, you know, they're not massive overseas names, but they win tournaments.
Well, it's very hard actually to come in and be an overseas player. You don't know how the whole list plays. You've never played with them before. So, you know, he's walking out with two different players he's opened the batting with. He's opened the batting with young Henry, was it? I think, in the first couple.
Oh, I'm not sure.
And then he's opened the batting with now Avendano. So two players.
Yeah, he has a bit of a crack.
So two players he's never even met before in his life. You know, go out there and be the superstar that you are. But really, you've just got to play to your strengths and play within your boundaries. And
I think they're used to that now. They're playing that many different teams. You know the method. No doubt that I reckon they'll be talking to them. The Stars are going okay. They didn't play their first three games at home.
Yeah.
They're going to be hit by the one-day team, though. But I'm hearing Nick Madison might be fit, so that might give them some relief, because you take Stoinis and Maxwell and that out of the team, it's a big chunk of explosive hitting.
Yeah, Madison is a very important player. I spoke to him about his arm just last week. He asked me that, how long did you come back quickly after? And I said, look, I think it was about 10 days, which was probably about five days too short. But I said, look, I'm tough, mate, you know, so you're a bit different.
So he'll be another 3 weeks. How'd he take that? He's got tats.
Yeah, he's got tats. He makes him tougher than me, you're right. Back, a welcome return. What I don't like, unfortunately, is that we've lost Lama Shane back to the Bangladesh Premier League. You know, that doesn't sit well with me, because he was an excitement machine. He was fantastic, and the crowd involvement was great.
What are all the Nepalese fans that follow him around?
Come back, please, buddy. We love you.
Well, I think he comes back for the last Stars game, and then potentially finals.
Right,
a little bit different, isn't he? Like, he's not quite as quick into the pitch like, Rashid Khan and Shadab Khan last year up at the Heat. So he's happy to roll the dice a little bit.
Well, they need to get something out of Ben Dunk, don't they? They need him firing at the top. It's a continued issue.
I think he's still got 3 years left too.
He's got four, I reckon. So, look, he's a continued issue there, how he needs to fire at the top, and maybe Madison will help him a little bit. Just get a good partnership there, but Sebastian Gotch is also can keep
doing pretty well. The bowlers are okay too.
Yeah, and what I love,
I think Beer will come back in.
Jackson Coleman was very good actually against Sixers. Bowled a wide channel, bowled some off speed pace. So they look pretty good actually.
Renegades. So the wicket there has been carp.
Yes,
we'd give that a carp.
It's been worse than that. It's been more like dog shit, actually, but that's okay.
But obviously, winning the last game, Christian and Nabi are pretty dangerous in that middle order there. Yep. Probably the brightest thing for me has been Sam Harper, who we've known for years. You know, I think it was him and Lukey Durham were the best under-19 players, and really couldn't get going. But one thing he's got, he's always had a little bit of lapping and innovative, but he's actually increased his power as well.
He has. And he only came in off back of injuries.
Yeah.
and got an opportunity. Myself and Ronnie McDonald were down at the new oval in Beaumaris. The Melbourne Cricket Club were playing against the Geelong. And Sammy Harper towered up Jake Reed, who's got good ball speed, sort of 145. And yeah, that was enough for Ronnie. Thought, yep, that's good.
Well, and the other thing was 144 too.
So. Yeah, so he's playing a great role, coming in at number three, opening the batting, and he's just been aggressive.
And quite important too, like with Tim Ludeman going to open, take the gloves, and Lude's missed out in the first few games. Yeah. Well, all right, we've got a solution.
Yeah, well, that was keeper. It was a tough one for Ludeman, but the good conundrum for Andrew McDonald to have.
And not a bad bowling lineup either, is it? Like Richardson and Wildermuth, DC, Mohammed Nabi. Probably hasn't been. I think they're on to Nabi. He's not getting away with just bowling in the power play. Like, they know what's coming now.
Well, it's more his ball speeds, actually. So here's some good coaching, actually. So we talked to Andrew McDonald about this, and I said, mate, he just doesn't look to be as effective. And he said he's actually 10 kilometres slower on his ball speed than he was in previous years. So they talked to him about it, and he was more effective last game last night. So
I wonder why he slowed down, because if you're just an arm ball, basically, you want to actually be, it's like a medium-pace outswinger.
Yeah, well, Jake Weatherall absolutely pumped him at a wicket in Geelong, which should have suited him, and he absolutely mauled him to death.
Yeah, I think Weatherall would be one that you wouldn't necessarily bowl him to, because he's so strong, square of the wicket.
Very strong.
For the Thunder, they're going to lose some excitement with Butler going. Joe Root hasn't got going at all, but they're sitting pretty well. Watson hasn't fired. They've just done enough to win. Sanga, probably only that one innings, but that was amazing. But probably Sams has been the real surprise packet with bat and ball.
I never knew he could bat that well. I actually thought he was always good with the ball.
He's a hard hitter of the ball.
Huge. I like that. Keep going, man. Get up the top.
We know Chris Green does it every time. He's a sort of underrated T20 player.
Can he not be considered for our T20 side for Australia? Why not? He bowls in all three phases of the game. Slugs him good in the field, and he's a good-looking rooster. We need to promote that on the circuit.
Okay, so we'll get that on Twitter.
Yeah.
We want Greeny into the T20 team.
Yeah.
Who haven't we spoken about? Oh, the Strikers, the reigning champs.
Yeah.
And the Heat. So the Heat haven't played many. The Strikers are still...
They're a good team.
...in striking distance,
aren't they? Yeah, I mean, I think they missed Ben Lachlan the other night. But any team with Rashid Khan in it, you're a gun team. So when you're speaking on the TV the other night to Colin Ingram, and he was saying, you know, whenever you've got that trump card off your sleeve, it's just great to be able to inject him at any time. But that's just still a good team. They'll be hurt by these selections as well, with Stanlake out.
Well, even Sid's what's he bowling?
Carey as well. So how they're gonna fill that void is a real tough one, because he's a gun. So that'll be some challenges there, and be interesting to see how they go.
Well, in the underrated 11, Jono Wells has to be in it.
He's good.
Jono Wells is.
Yeah.
So he's a bit, you know how we mentioned those power hitters at six and seven. You know, he can hit sixes, but he's so busy.
Well, he's filled that void of Ross going to the Heat.
Sweepologist.
And it's unfortunate for him, he can't get a game. Yeah, so he might have to shift back there. But what I love about Wellesley is he stays within his bubble, his limitations. He knows what he can do. And he's busy. If he knows he needs to play a running game, he'll get the running game.
I think you need to have someone with him who runs well between the wickets as well, because... I suppose in the step up 11, I would have obviously Jakey Lehman, who is such a natural stroke player in 4-day cricket. We all remember the six to win the game. His T20 cricket is awful. Record's been awful.
I just think it's his scoring zones. He's so much dominant in certain areas in 4-day cricket that he's not a 360 player yet. He can potentially become that.
He's young enough, yeah.
But I think he's very much a square wicket player, so he's cutting off pretty much all of everything in front of the wicket. So once he learns how to do that, that'll be different for him.
And the Brizzy Heat, they only played four games.
Yeah.
Obviously, Lynn's going well. Cutting. Baza needs runs. Maxie Bryant.
How hard does
he hit the ball?
Imagine playing like that every game. That'd be awesome.
What's that?
Well, you just first ball, you just hit it into the stand, the second tier. Yeah, it's amazing.
He did it in the JLT as well.
He did.
A lot of these kids are straight out of their 19s.
Yeah, I like this guy. Wow. And they look pretty good, actually. Mujib's a good inclusion there and done well on you know, still a whack of wicket to be able to get 2 for 10 or whatever it was incredible. They need to get Baz firing. Once Baz gets up and running, they'll be fine.
Mujib.
Mujib, I mean, they're happy with Chris Lynn, probably non-selection. He's been on fire, actually. Some of those shots he hits, Chris for 100 metres is undescribable as a batsman. It's something of a joy to watch.
Hey, mate, so that's the BBL. Now, we get into this segment, and it's been a real concern for celebrities around the world.
Yeah.
It's the Bradley Hodge Social Media Self-Promoter Award, and I reckon some big names might be getting a mention.
There is a lot of big names. This is a big show, actually. So there's a lot going on here today. So they need to be. They've been very active, actually, around Test Series time, which it's surprising. And I'm going to start off with BBL. So we've just come off BBL. So Adelaide's own, well, he's actually living in Noosa, but Adelaide Strikers own Ben Lachlan. So RSN.
He's a fan of the show.
Yeah, so he's on the RSN.
He's always potting you and me.
Breakfast Club.
What?
Yeah, so he's, you know, joined the Summer Breakfast Boys for fresh, you know, the Strikers, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, you know, he's retweeted and put good fun this morning, have a listen. Benny. So I thought that
would he have done that if he wasn't on the show?
No chance. See, he doesn't even listen to radio. Close, I know that. This one I particularly enjoyed, and that's the former captain of Australia, Sneaky Steve Waugh. It's brilliant.
Tugger's
out there. Dinner with one of the superstars of Indian cricket at RAshwin99. Hashtag cricket coaching, hashtag leadership, hashtag mentoring, hashtag respect.
Oh, hashtag,
no one sees you for 10 months of the year, Steve.
Hashtag 10 votes.
Yeah, 100%. Steve. So he's got him shaking his hand with R. Ashwin there.
Man.
So I'm not sure what Tugger's up to there. Macquarie Sports Zone and former coach of Australia.
Daz.
And being dobbed in by Matthew Belch beautifully.
Thanks.
So thank you, Matthew, for doing that. One of Helix partners, Maximum Energy, is offering a free 5-kilowatt solar system valued at $7,000. To enter, and comment on their Facebook page, visit facebook.com Maximum Energy.
Is that in a tweet from Darren Lehman?
Yeah.
He hasn't written that. He wouldn't even know what that means.
No chance.
So not taking responsibility of your own self-promotion, that's 8 votes.
Yep. So, Boof obviously had nothing to do during a boring period of...
But that's just blatant. That's a bit boring.
This one I particularly liked on Instagram and Twitter is Brett Lee makes another welcome return.
He's a gun.
A second ad for Google Home Hub. Proud that I'm wearing pants in this one. At Made by Google. Hashtag Google Home Hub. Hashtag sponsored.
Oh, my.
Brilliant, Binger. We love that.
That has to be 9 votes. But my worry is on Fox with how does he go along with Google Gilly?
Oh, well, he's taking all his stuff, isn't he?
If he's Googling, where does Google Gilly sit?
I have no idea. And another one who it's great that he's back on board, actually, and that's Mitchell Johnson.
Yeah.
So, Mitchell Johnson, enjoying my coffee machine I got as my birthday gift from Jessica Bradditch Johnson and trying some new coffee beans from Stay Grounded Coffee Roasters. Yes. Thanks, guys. Great coffee and accessories too.
Yeah.
Jessica.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. You've not even paid for any of that garbage.
Thanks, MJ. 5 votes.
Thanks, MJ. Well done. Good
and
stuff.
He is up in the leaderboard. I think he's on board now. You know, I don't think he was totally aware what we were doing with this social media.
He wasn't sure.
He's on, and I reckon he might try and win it.
He wasn't sure. Channel 7's own Akash Chopra.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Pudgy. Hashtag Kapil Dev, hashtag legend, hashtag respect. Now, it's a photo of him and Kapil Dev. Now, what I want to point out to our listeners.
Kapil's in India.
Correct. So I hate when people wish birthday happy wishes, but get yourself into the...
Unless you're actually celebrating the birthday with the person.
So he's not even there. He's at least 12,000 miles away from Kapil Dev.
We love him, but 6 votes.
Yep. This one's a beauty, and that's Shane Watson.
Yes.
So Shane Watson's been great lately on
social
media.
This segment is only as strong as Shane Watson's Instagram feed.
So he had an absolute blast today with the family at SeaWorld Oz. The highlight for the kids was at Nickelodeon AU Land. So well done.
So what is he just doing that?
That's a free
of charge.
Yeah, there's no doubt. No,
that's at Seven Votes.
There's no doubt Watson was there. I've got another one. There's another one brewing, and this is Michael Vaughan. And he's got a picture of some lights. How often do you stop and think about what is powering your light bulbs? Every second of light is costing you and the earth. However, if you swap to hashtag renewable energy, this will change. You can cut costs, live more substantially, and even make a profit. Intrigued? Head to our website and learn more.
He's typed all that out.
Yep, he has.
Is it 1956 and this? What's he doing? That's just...
I'm pretty sure renewable energy doesn't even exist in England, so... keep your hands
That's
off our products. And this is amazing. What a triumphant return to someone who lives in our gospel leadership self-promotion awards, and that is the great white shark,
he's
Greg
the
Norman.
Reigning champ.
And he's been absent, and I don't know what's happened to him.
You did put out a little Christmas list of what you want for Christmas. You wanted Norma.
Well, I was concerned originally about his health.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe he's sick.
Yes.
But on Instagram, he's proven that that's not the case. So he's shown him, it's called old school. Old school Norman with his clothes off again, which is with
clothes
his shorts.
Off.
Running up the stairs. I don't know where it is. And then there's the next one. Made it. He's obviously doing a fake one of him climbing up some mountains. And then... another one, deep in thought, we'll miss this place, hashtag special, hashtag cathartic or something like that, just with his rig out again.
Yeah.
Another one, 4 years ago today, I trusted a bunch of rubber bands in Queenstown, hashtag New Zealand, hashtag attack life, so he's bungee jumping. So he's promoting something from 4 years ago. Amazing.
So there's one more.
Don't stop there.
Okay.
The shark.
We've got more.
Great night with some incredible athletes and people at Brisbane Tennis at Rafa Nadal. Get well and good luck in Australian Open. Good to be back, Shark.
Rafa wouldn't want him naked.
No, he's not, because Rafa's got a better rig.
This could be a record. I'm going to give him 15 votes.
It's ridiculous.
I'm going to give him 15 votes, and he is right up there on the leaderboard. I mean, he was in fourth position before this. No pup. So, actually, Mitch Johnson may be leading.
Yep.
Warney was quiet. Binger was fourth, but he's got votes. So, it's interesting. The big names know that, you know, post-Christmas, early New Year,
yes,
if they're going to go on to win this social media self-promoter award, they know they've got to get out there, and they're not disappointing us.
Well, I was surprised about the leader, actually, Michael Clark. He was more happy to give a lot of clapping awards to the Indian cricket side than get himself out there.
That little emoji.
Yes, that was it.
He's a bit of the emoji.
Yeah, so that's unlike Michael, especially, you know, leading up the leaderboard there.
He's been working over in India. You get him back to Australia, mate. Those calves are going to be getting a workload like they've never seen before, and we'll be seeing it on his Instagram.
Different person, but that's it from me.
That's a social media self-promoter award. Hodgie, so we're looking forward to, we've got a little bit of bash coming up. I'll put out a little poll. Do you want to see the DRS after some of the debacles with the decisions?
Yeah.
Should the DRS be used in the BBL? I only did it for 2 hours, 1,200 votes, 73%. Yep.
Right. Okay.
Bring it in.
Yeah. Why not?
Are you a fan or not?
Yeah. Why not?
I want the right decision. It's generally done pretty quick.
Yeah.
So it's in.
Yeah. Get it in.
Okay, that's it. I want to say once again, thanks for listening. Keep subscribing. Getting a lot of listens on Spotify, not just iTunes.
Nice.
Our German listeners are up. We got seven this week, so we might do a German cricket. I actually met the German cricket captain once.
Right.
Adelaide. Someone said, hey, Flam, the German cricket captain wants to see outside. Are you kidding me? And I walked out there, and he was.
What was his name?
He just wanted me to sign a shirt. Hans someone. I'll follow that up. But thanks for listening. That's the Bowlology Report. We'll catch up next week.
See you then.
DJ Bravo. DJ Bravo. DJ Bravo. DJ Bravo. Champion. 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 Champion.
Everybody knows it. Bravo.
Champion. 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 Champion.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.